Welcome to RCGP Scotland Presents Generally Speaking. In this first episode, RCGP Scotland Chair Dr. Chris Provan outlines his Chair's priority and how it will guide the work of the College in the coming years. Then, Chris discusses his first 6 months as Chair, including meetings with politicians, policymakers and key stakeholders from across the healthcare landscape in Scotland.
Hello, my name is Chris Provan. I'm a GP in a city centre practice in Aberdeen. I have been there in the practice of partner for 30 years now, and I've watched a lot of change in the practice, increasing pressure and workload and complexity of what we see. And I'm now chair of the College of GPs in Scotland. And one of the things that got me into the College in the first place was doing the Quality Practice Award when I was a trainee in the same practice. And we looked at the care we were delivering, audited various aspects of what we did, looked at how we worked as a team. And it really brought us together as a team, showed the value of what we were achieving, and gave us all a bit of a buzz. Since then, I've worked on the local faculty and enjoyed working now across Scotland, listening to GPs and various groups, looking at how we can actually move forward together. I enjoy doing that, and then we can actually feed that into the government as to really what our priorities are going forward. I'm keen to actually make sure that everybody knows the huge amount of work that's going on in the College as your professional home, and we need to actually get out there that there's a lot happening, and looking through the podcast really to engage with people, try and feed back to them and get some feedback ourselves about how we move forward together. So after lots of discussion with the team, we've come up with promoting the value of a career in general practice, and this reflects all my thinking around this, and we have short, medium and long-term aspects of this and actions around that. Really, I have three words that I always mention to people I'm meeting around general practice is recruitment, retention and investment. And there's aspects of all of these within the chair's priority. Trainees. So we want to support trainees during their traineeship, giving them a good welcome to the College so that they make resources that are available from the College useful to them. And supporting trainees just after they graduate, transitioning into the world of general practice and supporting them with foundations and promoting that aspect to the government and lobbying for these types of things. Trainers, the forgotten army of trainers who work away in the background and do a fantastic job of shaping the next generation. They're under pressure recently as well for various reasons. We're holding a meeting coming up, a round table to discuss the challenges for trainers and see what we can do to support them. Another aspect is supporting international medical graduates who make up a bigger proportion now of our trainees. And we want to help them with the particular challenges of coming to another country and practicing general practice medicine. And really just in general, collecting the evidence of how general practice works for our patients and stories of what it is to be a GP and, you know, the pleasure and satisfaction that comes from that in sharing people's lives moving forward. So all of this comes together with short, medium and long-term, quite specific actions. And we then take these actions to stakeholders, the government, the profession, and see what we can do. And it comes back to recruitment, retention and hopefully investment so that we have a workforce of GPs to help each other moving forward, to help our patients, because that's what it's all about.
Hello and welcome to the Q&A section of the RCGP Scotland podcast. My name is Angus Gould. I'm the Policy and Public Relations Officer with the College, and I'm joined today by the Chair of RCGP Scotland, Dr. Chris Provan. Chris, how are you?
I'm grand, thanks, Angus. It's exciting to be doing a podcast. It's good to talk to you.
Absolutely. So I think first thing we should talk about is that we're about 6 months now into your chairmanship of the college. How are you feeling? How's it all going?
Well, I mean, obviously, when I was thinking of taking up the post, it felt a bit daunting, but just decided to go into it and do the best we can, see if we can try and make a difference to what's happening to GPs. I'm still a GP 2 days a week. I was duty doctor yesterday, so I know what it's like to run around chasing patient issues. The first thing that strikes me is that just how much work goes on at the college with a relatively small team, with working with Parliament and putting in kind of information from requests around that, and working on policy, arranging events, all of the type of faculty events for trainees and other people. But I'm really enjoying it, partly because I get to take the issues I see day to day in my job and tell them to people of influence in the system who hopefully can make a difference moving forward around the issues like recruitment and retention and everything that we're talking about.
Absolutely. So would you say, now that you're 6 months in, that was the sort of biggest surprise you've had, is just the breadth and the depth of the work that goes on behind the scenes that maybe the day-to-day GP wouldn't see?
Yes, I think it's probably the biggest part of it, the appearing at parliamentary information, being questions about that. One of the biggest things is trying to work with the media as well. That was something I was naturally worried about, getting used to being interviewed on the radio and those types of things, which I'm beginning to get a bit used to. I did some media training, which was fascinating, and enjoyed that. But I think it's important we try and get out there and you know, try and paint a positive message of GPs in the media as much as we can. So we're trying to build that up.
Yeah, and you talk about getting out there, and I wonder, obviously a large part of the work of the college is working with stakeholders across government, third sector organisations and so on. How many introductory meetings do you think you've had in the past 6 months, Chris?
I couldn't count them, actually. It feels like hundreds. I've met half the population of Scotland, it feels like, from practice nurse and Royal College of Nursing representatives to a lot of government officials, politicians, various lobby groups, link worker groups, all trying to do their job in the system and link things up. So it's really been fascinating, and being able to give a GP's point of view, try and get across what our role is, because I don't think the system really understands the complexity, the busyness, the pressures on the system. So it's been useful to get that across and listen to everybody I've met there. I'm beginning to feel, to some extent, I'm finding my feet a bit and know how to work my way through the system a bit better. So looking forward to things going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And having engaged with, you know, other medical royal colleges and other groups from across the medical landscape, would you say that there's some common ground or some shared experiences when it comes to the pressures currently faced by GPs, but also other clinicians and other professions?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pressure is very often around demand and workforce are the biggest things. Those are the biggest themes that come out. Even we're still recovering from COVID. It may seem strange, but we're still a bit exhausted from that. And The workforce is tired, and but also very positive things. There's a huge amount of people doing a huge amount of work around, for example, meeting the Deep End group, who are doing a lot of work to improve the care for patients in deprived communities. It's great to feed off their passion for that, and it's a different way of looking at patients with trauma-informed care, for example. I was at their conference, and the college is really trying to work with the Deep End practices and take that work forward, for example. So part of our role is to join things up and lobby to stakeholders, various groups around to try and move that forward. And hopefully, eventually, it does actually make a difference on the ground day to day. Other things like working with trainers groups, and we're doing work around that. I've met a lot of international medical graduates. I've learned a huge amount about the challenges they face coming over to Scotland, adjusting potentially and working in our country and thinking about how we can support them going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also talk about lobbying and about meeting politicians. Now that you've been in the role for 6 months, you've had the opportunity, obviously, to meet with government, meet with policymakers, and obviously members of the Scottish Government civil service team quite a lot. How would you say your experience so far has been on how policy actually gets made and how you go about influencing government to make those changes, make those funding decisions that are going to support general practice and support outcomes in primary care?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the best bits is being able to meet government officials and explain the situation. And I think we've had positive meetings with the Cabinet Secretary in the sense that we're both trying to sit down and see what we can really do to solve the problems. And I think there's a willingness on both sides to do that and help people understand the pressures on the system. Part of me wants to actually make a lot of noise and shout about the problems. And we do that to a certain extent, but we also have to think about how we actually work with people and actually solve the problems together across the system. So it's getting that balance. And we've had really good engagement from the government around some of our workforce and retention type issues. So we're hoping that that actually comes to fruition in time going forward.
Absolutely. And I think one of the challenges we've talked about, and even today in a radio interview experiencing, is that the need to shift policymakers and even the broader public away from a waiting list or secondary care focus. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, well, I was in another discussion this morning in around policy for 10, 15 years at least has been to invest more in primary care and all these types of things. So we're trying to actually talk to officials, politicians about that and try and make that a reality. It's difficult for politicians sometimes because they have short-term political pressures, which we can understand, but we need to actually make our case for investing in primary care, because we need generalists who are going to take care of patients with multiple illnesses. Every policy document we read says that, so we need to actually keep reflecting that back to them so that it actually becomes more of a reality, because the investment in primary care has actually gone down rather than up in the last decade, as you can see in the front line.
Absolutely. And I think making that case that primary care is the most cost-effective way, or at least certainly an extremely cost-effective way of funding healthcare and driving improvements in health outcomes, it's a really important part of what the college does, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're trying to collect evidence now really around the benefits and collate it all together in one place of general practice and continuity of care. And explain to people how we manage risk and how important that is for the system. So we welcome the multidisciplinary team, but nobody can replace us as GPs, as risk managers, and we will still have a place leading that team going forward. I've benefited from having a policy team who actually support that and, produce documents so that we can engage around Scottish Council and local faculties to hear what's happening on the ground as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously talking about policy development and engaging with government, it all sounds like pretty heavy, high-level stuff. But actually, a lot of this does and can flow through from council meetings and from on-the-ground GPs as well. How would you say, or how would you encourage an average member of the college GP to get involved with sort of the policy development driving these outcomes for the college?
I mean, I think in Scotland, it's a relatively small place, and we're nearer to government and levers of power than we think. So I found it really beneficial to try and engage so we can give the right messages across. So I'd encourage anybody to let us know what we should be talking about. Go along to your local faculty board and discuss the issues. General practice needs to evolve and change. We need to hear from young GPs and support them as they're just qualifying. Mid-career GPs who are getting a bit frazzled by the workload potentially. Late career GPs or mid-career who need a new challenge. We need to hear from all of those different groups, and we're actually trying to help and target all those different groups in a different way. And one of the best bits I've had of being involved in this so far is actually the new members ceremony I was privileged to attend in November. And that was great because part of our role is to celebrate general practice. It was great to see all the new GPs coming through. So part of the podcast is to try and engage with members, let you know what's happening, and try and hear from you what you'd like us to take up and talk about.
Absolutely. And so we'll just spend some time talking about your first 6 months in the chair, some reflections on how it's gone. How would you say your first 6 months in the chair have influenced what you want to do moving forward? And how do you see the next 6 months and beyond for the college and general practice in Scotland?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've beginning to, after all those thousands of introductions, beginning to find my feet. I think we have a small team and we have to be quite focused in our kind of targets going forward. And I think it's really about helping patients and helping doctors on the front line. And that's my three words: recruitment, retention, investment. And this is what I say in many meetings, the people I meet. We need to increase the investment in general practice. We need to actually make sure we retain the skills of experienced GPs, and part of that is around workload. And we work with other organisations like the Scottish General Practitioners Committee and the Scottish Government to try and see how we can actually take that forward. So I think we have a chair's priority, which is around supporting trainers, trainees, which we discuss elsewhere as well in the podcast. So I think we're going to have to be focused, but I'm sure now we've got a really good team here to try and push things forward take it a step at a time. Yes, we won't get everything that we ask for. It's a very difficult situation, both financially and just general in terms of the environment. But we need to just actually have specific targets and get as much as we can to support the front line.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Chris. And I'm sure we all look forward to the next edition of the RCGP Scotland podcast Q&A.
Thanks, Angus.
Thank you for listening to the very first edition of Generally Speaking, the RCGP Scotland podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date with all of the work and news from across the college.